2 Timothy chapter 3.
So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless it now as we spend a few moments in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Paul is preparing Timothy for Paul's departure from this earth, his beheading that he knew was imminent, and from what we understand, it didn't come too much longer after God had inspired him to write this epistle. But Paul's preparing Timothy for the ministry and assuming that Timothy would be God's man to take his place. And so here in these verses, Paul is saying, Timothy, you spent enough time with me, you walked with me, you ministered with me, you saw how I operated, you saw how I lived, you saw my character and the things that I did, and he lists all these things that you fully knew them. And essentially what he's saying is, go and do thou likewise. And so as part of the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, I believe God is telling us the same thing, go and do thou likewise. Now we have two more of these that we haven't looked at here in verse number 10, charity and patience. And so I'd like to spend time with those two at least tonight. And when we look at persecutions and afflictions, essentially they come under that whole definition of patience. Now, here's your quiz for tonight. We'll see how good your memory is. Last week I told you the difference between long-suffering and patience. Does anyone know the difference? What is the difference between long-suffering and patience? Exactly. Long-suffering has to do with people, and patience has to do with our circumstances. And so when you see it in the Word of God and you see long-suffering, think, people are giving us trouble. How do we deal with it? Do we suffer long with them as the Lord does? The Bible tells us that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, talking about his long-suffering there with lost sinners. But when we read the word patience, then your mind should be thinking, all right, here's the difficult circumstances that we face in life, and how should we respond? Because patience tells us that in the Word of God. All right, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, page 1638 in the Rock of Ages Study Bible, if you have that. I want to talk about patience first, and then we'll come back and talk about charity. Paul went through circumstances that are the things of nightmares. And I think that if we as believers were asked to endure some of the things, even some of the things, not all of them, but even a fraction of the things he endured, I think we would quit. And Paul is telling Timothy, life will not be easy if you live the way God asks you to live. And he's going to deal with that in the next couple of verses, and we'll discuss those in another study. But he's telling Timothy, look, if you're going to take the leadership, if you're going to have the ministry and carry the mantle after me, you can expect the same things I went through, and you will have need of patience. Now, how can we have patience where we can go through the circumstances of life, the difficult circumstances, without becoming unglued, without losing our faith, without throwing in the towel, without quitting? It's by being led of the Holy Spirit of God and being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, God gives us a list of some of the things that Paul went through. And so I want to spend some time with that, because Timothy is being told by Paul, you know my patience. You know how I was able to endure the circumstances and just keep on going. To be able to be like that ever-ready bunny that just never quits, and he's always moving and playing his drum in the TV commercials, but Paul was always doing something else. He was preaching the gospel and trying to win souls to Christ and get churches started. And so in verse number 23 of 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says, are they ministers of Christ? Now, he's talking about those that were challenging his authenticity. And he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Now, let's not pass that up too quickly, because Paul's talking about something that's foolish. And what he's saying is, if we brag about the things we've done for God, that's utter foolishness, because we don't do anything for God except offer ourselves as His servant. If God chooses to do anything through us, it's not us that should take the credit, but we need to be like the moon and deflect the glory of the Son of God and give God the glory and God the credit. And that's important. Paul says it's foolish to dwell on these things, but here's what he says that he endured. He says, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. Now, do you understand what he's saying right there, in stripes above measure? What does that statement, above measure, mean? No, that was with the rod. He's going to mention that in just a minute. It just simply means more than I can count. So I couldn't keep track of how many times I endured stripes. Now, what is a stripe? It's a beating, a whipping. Paul endured that. Now, we don't read about it very often in the book of Acts, and so we think that, you know, he didn't go through that a whole lot, but he tells us right here that he did, and God didn't choose to record all the times that he went through it. And Paul says, I couldn't keep up. I couldn't keep count. I couldn't keep track of how many times, because of preaching the gospel, because of living for Christ, that I endured being whipped and beaten with stripes. He says, but I didn't quit, Timothy. I demonstrated the patience of God in my life. He goes on to say, in prisons more frequent. Oftentimes we think that the only imprisonments that Paul ever endured were the imprisonments in Rome. Now, the first one started out in Jerusalem, and then he went to Caesarea, but then he went to Rome. And we think, really, only two times, but if you study even the book of Acts, you find that he was in prison more often than that. And again, just like the stripes, God didn't record for us how many times Paul was in prison. He says frequent. Now, how would you like to be thrown in jail? I wouldn't like it a single time. But nevertheless, Paul says it happened a lot in his experience. He goes on to say, in deaths oft. Now, how many times do we read in the book of Acts that Paul died? Dallas? That's an excellent answer. I'm not going to call on you anymore. We read of him dying physically once at Lystra. But Dallas has the right idea. Paul was constantly dying to self. But I think he's talking primarily about the physical death and facing death as the crowds would come on him and to beat him. You remember when he was arrested in Jerusalem and the Roman guard came and rescued him, and they had to carry him out of the room because the crowd was so violent and trying to kill him, even as the Roman guard was trying to escort him out of the area, and they just wouldn't let go. And so Paul was just making people irate and mad at him. Now, why did they do that? If you were here in Sunday school, you heard why. It's not that they hated Paul, but what they hated was the Lord Jesus Christ and the preaching of God's Word. It brings conviction. And people don't understand conviction, and they think that this person's attacking me. Well, it's not that individual preaching that's attacking. It's the Son of God and the Holy Spirit of God convicting them of their sin, trying to show them their need of a Savior. And so it's an act of God's love and an act of God's mercy that would happen in their lives, but they just don't understand it. And so they attack the messenger, but it's not the messenger they're really upset with. Paul says, in death oft, physically and spiritually, I die daily. And he says, Timothy, you need to learn to do that so that when you go through these difficult circumstances, you don't quit. You don't surrender your testimony, but you keep it intact as a servant of God. He goes on in verse 24 and says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Now, this would be the beating with a rod, and that's a little bit different than being whipped. Now, when My brothers and I were naughty when we were growing up. If mom spanked us, we got spanked with a belt. And that was bad enough. I mean, that hurt like crazy. My mom could swing a mean belt. But if my oldest brother had to babysit us, he didn't use the belt. He got the broom. That was the rod. And he smacked us with the broom. And we would always fight for position because he swung from the handle, the end of the handle. So if you were on the end, you got the bristles. And, of course, that's not going to hurt. But nevertheless, the rods hurt. And he recorded how many times? 40 stripes, save one from the Jews. And they did that because that was their custom, lest they break the law of God, who gave 40 times as the maximum punishment you could give a man. And Paul made the Jews upset enough at least 5 times to get the maximum punishment that they could inflict on any individual. We're talking about some pretty serious circumstances that Paul endured in his ministry. And Paul's telling Timothy, and he's letting us know that through it all, he exercised the patience that the servant of God needs to exercise in order that we can stay faithful and carry out the will of God in our lives. Now, when we consider just the things we've read so far, we think, well, Paul didn't live a very pleasant life. And yet we don't find Paul griping. We don't find Paul complaining. We don't find Paul having a pity party and saying, woe is me. But we find Paul rejoicing. And we find Paul with a grateful heart that God has chosen to allow him to do the things that he did. Now, how does he do that? Because of the patience that he had through the Holy Spirit of God filling him as he died daily. Let's move on to verse 22. He says, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. As far as we know, that was at Lystra, where he was left for dead. He says, thrice I suffered shipwreck. And he says, a night and a day I have been in the sea. Now, we only read in the book of Acts of one time when Paul endured shipwreck, and that was on his way to Rome. But apparently, it happened at least 2 other times. I think I'd stay on land if I was Paul after the first time. But he went where God called him, didn't he? And if God called him to go in a way that he wasn't sure of the safety of it, he went, knowing that he was safer in the midst of peril in the hands of God than he was staying home in his living room outside God's will. And that's just a principle that's still true today. If God calls us to do something and go somewhere, and we think, well, that's too dangerous for me, you're safer going if God calls you than simply staying at home. And so Paul understood that principle, and he saw all these circumstances in his life, and he's saying to Timothy and reminding Timothy, look, through it all, you never saw me complaining, you never saw me griping, you may have seen me limping, and you may have seen me suffering, but you saw the joy in my heart because I was serving God where God called me to serve Him. He goes on, it's not over yet. In verse number 26, he says, in journeyings often. He was a traveling evangelist. Jesus said he didn't have a place to call home. Paul's saying that was the same way he lived. He was always traveling. He says, in perils of waters, I would say so, after being shipwrecked 3 times and spending a night and a day in the deep. Now, you hear stories from time to time about shipwrecks and the sharks coming and taking people. I wonder, how did Paul escape? Well, it's not rocket science. God was protecting him. And if God can protect Daniel in the den of hungry lions, he certainly can protect the Apostle Paul in those shark-infested waters. And so that would be no issue. He says, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Paul says, everywhere I went, it was dangerous. So I didn't have an escort. I didn't have security guards. I didn't have anyone to protect me except God. But you know what he would say? He says, and God was enough. God watched over me and delivered me safely. But everywhere he went, he was in peril. We're talking about the difficult circumstances. So often we don't want to leave the comfort of our living room because of peril. But God just says, follow me and trust me and let me protect you. He goes on because he's not done yet, giving his testimony of what God put him through. But he wouldn't use that word, put him through. He would say the things that God allowed me to experience in his adventure of serving God. Verse 27, he says, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, that means staying up at night, sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst. Boy, I think I would stop right there, in hunger. No Captain Crunch. How could life be more miserable? But Paul endured that, and he didn't quit. He just kept going. He says, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul says, my difficult circumstances weren't just physical. He says they were also emotional, the stress that he endured because of the churches. And so Paul says to Timothy, you know my testimony. You know the patience I displayed before you. I never gave up. I never gave a thought to quitting because of the circumstances I endured. Now, we can ask ourselves, how did Paul do that? And I think that's where we back up one in our list there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, which was charity. And I think that explains how Paul was able to continue doing what he did. So let's look at charity for a minute. What's charity? You know, in our day and age, the word charity has been redefined from what it was 400 years ago, and it's giving to the needy, and we understand charity in that aspect. Ralph? It's the word love? Okay, yeah. Now, you also find the word love. Whenever you read the word charity, it's always the translation of one Greek word for love. They had several words for the word love. They had the word agape, and that's the word that's always translated. It's not always translated charity, but every time you read the word charity, it is always from the Greek word agape. And so when you read, for God so loved the world, it's the word agape. It's that love that is a choice, where we choose to love someone irregardless of their response. And so Paul is saying, Timothy, you knew how I loved other people, even though they did all these things to me. Now, some of them were like the shipwrecks, weren't inflicted by other people, but much of what we saw was inflicted by other people. And Paul says, you know, I still love them with the same love that God loved me with. The other word for love is the word philos, and we have the city by the name of Philadelphia. They call it the city of brotherly love. That's because it's a combination of two words. Philos, love, which is the love of brothers or just friendship love, and the word brother, adelphos. And so, the two different levels. A lost man can experience philos love, but a lost individual can never experience agape love. And so, Paul says, I had that. Now, look over in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Paul had a genuine love for all people. Let's start in verse number 12. This is the first part of this passage is a passage we all love around the middle of April because it's talking about paying our taxes. In verse number 7, as he's winding it down, he says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. In other words, he says, pay your bills, pay what you owe. But he goes on, and our key verse here is verse number 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he defines love. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And look at verse number 11. It's tied right into the same idea of owing no man anything but to love one another. He says, in that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. What he means by that last statement in that last verse is he was expecting the rapture. And he says, don't quit now. Don't grow bitter at those that bring circumstances that are difficult to endure into your lives. Stay sweet and tender with the love of Christ, with that agape love, and love all men, and owe them that, and recognize our responsibility. God shed His love on us. We're then to turn around and shed that love on other people. Paul had a genuine love for all men, and Timothy knew that and saw that love in action as Paul took the gospel. I mean, how loving would it be if we never warned a man of hell because of his sin, that a man was lost? How loving would we be if we were like the church that my parents dropped me off at and my siblings when we were just little, that told everybody, oh, you're going to heaven. God will never send you to hell. He won't send anyone there. How loving is that? Because that's a lie. And that is contradictory to what God Himself says. And so that's not love at all. Love is to share the gospel, the good news. And love is to help when we can help. And love is to be that friend that Christ asks us to be. And so Paul was able to endure with patience all the things he endured because of his love, genuine love for all. But turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, page 1631 in the Rock of Ages Study Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You see, Paul didn't only have a genuine love for all, but he also had a genuine love for Christ. A genuine love for Christ. Paul's reminding Timothy, look, if you're going to be that faithful steward, if you're going to be able to carry my mantle, you've got to have not just patience, but you need to have charity, because charity will get you through those rough circumstances with other people and those rough circumstances that just come because of the peril that we face in life. And we also need to have a genuine love for Christ to keep us going as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 13, he says, "For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause." He says, look, if we seem to be crazy and out of our mind, it's because we're serving God. He goes on to verse 14. He says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." What he's saying in verse number 15 was put so well by Dallas just a few moments ago. He died daily. But he didn't just die daily, but he lived unto Christ. And so he put aside his own selfish desires, his own selfish plans, and said, "Lord, what would you have me to do today?" But he did it because the love of Christ constrained him. In other words, because God loved him so much, Paul understood the love of Christ and what God saved him from and what God saved him to. And that gave Paul a commitment that was unbreakable. No matter how much persecution and affliction that he endured, that he referred to in 2 Timothy 3:11, no matter how many difficult circumstances that he dealt with, as he referred to the patience, no matter how many difficult people he endured, referred to by the long-suffering, Paul was able to stay faithful because he had a genuine love for people and a genuine love for Christ, who loved him enough to die for him. And so that motivation is all Paul needed. And Paul told Timothy that motivation ought to be all you need to die daily and just simply serve Christ and never quit and never give up. Dwell on how much God loves you in order that the love of Christ would constrain you just as it did Paul. Father, we're grateful for your word, thankful for Paul's personal testimony in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10. And Lord, we could have spent so much more time there, but Father, I think we spent enough. And Father, just challenge our hearts, because we know this world is not conducive to Christianity. Father, there's so many temptations trying to allure us away, so many people trying to cause us to fall into the world, so many circumstances that the devil is allowed to bring in our lies that make living a Christian life difficult. But Father, through it all, Father, may we look to the cross of Calvary and your great love demonstrated to us, and may that great love constrain us to stay faithful no matter what we face, no matter what comes our way, nor that we might be faithful until the end. And as Paul will say a little bit later in 2 Timothy, that he's finished his course and he's kept the faith. Father, bless us now and challenge our hearts to be as faithful as Paul. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.